Well, as we do every Wednesday, we get our dose of cannabis science from Dr. Mitch Earlywine, who's an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany. Dr. Earlywine, welcome back to the Daily Audio Stash.
Great to be on the show.
Well, we've been talking a lot lately over here in Oregon about our Oregon Cannabis Tax Act, and one of our talking points here has to do with teenagers and marijuana. And so you sent a really interesting manuscript my way about teenage use of marijuana and nature, and I thought maybe this would be a controversial and interesting topic to discuss.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is a thorny issue, but a neat idea for a research project. This appeared in the Journal of Environmental Psychology recently, and I'm a big fan of environmental psychology and love to see folks, you know, taking care of Mother Earth and keeping an eye on the outdoors and really making sure they get to enjoy themselves out there. And, you know, this is an era where we've got kids who, you know more about video games and computers than they do about different kinds of trees. So
yeah.
I'm always, you know, trying to make sure we, you know, get the word out about all these different facets of knowledge. What was funny about this study was that they basically showed that a subset of teens here who are regular marijuana users or at least, you know, experimenters early in life are using marijuana in a sense to be a gateway to nature. So they're spending more time in the outdoors. They seem to enjoy marijuana more in the outdoors. And in some sense, it's helping them get connected to the outdoors, particularly folks who live in more sort of urban areas, if you will.
Well, yeah, I wonder about the validity of that, thinking about how a lot of kids these days are growing up in mostly an urban or suburban or ex-urban environment where it's just, you know, house after house or strip mall after strip mall, and how little connection we do have with the environment. Now, I kind of grew up in more of a rural area out in Idaho, so I personally knew a lot of people whose idea of a really fun weekend would be to go camping and take a little baggie of marijuana with them and like you say, commune with nature.
Well, and it's wild because, you know, again, we've talked time and again about how we want to keep, you know, teen use to a minimum, that we do have data on IQ and brain development changes saying this is really not something for teens. But the, you know, the novelty of saying, okay, well, are there any, you know, caveats about this? Is there anything good that does seem to happen? This is a small study of students up in, you know, what a surprise, British Columbia. But they really are saying that they're essentially becoming more in love with the biosphere, much more interested in a new way of getting out and about. And it's got an opportunity, if you will, to sort of decrease this sedentary lifestyle and, you know, maybe even take on a bit of an ecological mindset.
Now, when we look at some of the other studies that you and I discussed, there's often the issue of causality versus correlation. You know, did something cause another thing, or did they just happen at the same time? And so I wonder, is it that the kids that smoke marijuana are get more into nature, or is it that kids that are more into nature tend to fall into marijuana?
Well, of course, we wouldn't know until we had some longitudinal data, but the narratives here, these big interviews, suggest in kind of an odd way that basically trying to escape from the house to, you know, avoid either leaving the smell of smoke or just to get away from the family in general during cannabis use is what got some of these teens to go out in nature in the first place. Now, it's a strange way to go, and it's certainly something that, you know, we could recommend for other reasons and you know, to do it without cannabis. But what a neat lesson that, hey, there's something out here in the world, out in nature, that can really be helpful to all of us, and that in some sense cannabis may have sort of inspired exposure to this and a bit of an escape from the technological world and some of the, you know, drawbacks of, you know, that kind of approach.
Yeah, with this massive industrialization and technological changes that we've gone through, we don't often have very many opportunities to get in touch with nature like that. And I find this really fascinating line of research. A lot of people are going to be scared away or shy off of the controversial nature of it being teenagers that we're talking about here. And like you said, there are studies that show problems for developing adolescent brains with heavy, repeated use of marijuana. What do they find with more, I don't know how we should say, maybe social or ritualistic use where it's few and far between? Is there anything in that area of study?
In fact, no, and I'm always worried about getting, you know, nailed to a cross on the cover of Time magazine for saying so, but even the big IQ study It was folks who were using 5, 6, 7 days a week who were showing the drops in IQ over several years. And it gets stifled a lot, but the teens who used only once a week actually didn't show that drop in IQ, at least in those Canadian data. Again, it's one of those situations where you don't want to recommend that or say that it's harmless, because once a week could turn into 3 times a week, could turn into 6 times a week for a subset of folks. And, you know, we just don't have the data to say that with assurance. But as scary as it sounds, there is at least a small group of folks who only use once a week who don't seem to show those negative consequences. Are they at more risk for dependence? That seems to be coming through in some of the bigger studies and more longitudinal studies. So the earlier age of onset definitely increases risk of dependence. I think what happens often is folks who, you know, start out too early in life haven't developed all the skills and abilities, alternative behaviors, things they want to do, and end up, you know, either not learning those or relying too heavily on cannabis for all their social, recreational, and other needs. Or perhaps, again, getting back to that causality issue, there's a subset of folks who really just don't have the skills and turn to cannabis in a sense, and don't get the opportunity to develop them.
Well, it's always been my theory, and I don't even just apply this just to teenagers. I'll apply this to adults too, that you should be firmly grounded in reality before you start to alter it. So that's why I find, in a personal sense, why it's a bad idea for teenagers to be using marijuana is just that, you know, there's so many, you know, everything is new, especially in the emotional and the social, when you're trying to acculturate with other kids and other adults. There's so many things, your first heartbreak, your first success, your first major failure, roadblocks. And I think it's important that kids learn how to deal with those and deal with those emotions in a sober world, in a reality world. And then as an adult, then you can start worrying about, you know, trying to alter that or back away from that.
Well, and in fact, that seems consistent, again, even in the non-teen literature, particularly folks who are having problems with hard drugs and in treatment. It's, they haven't, you know, developed the certain things that they need to know in order to deal with extremes in emotion or complex problems or things along those lines, and that's certainly the case. But what's funny is I feel like it would be an interesting caveat to just go out to the woods, you know, cannabis or not, even as an adult, and say, I'm going to commune with nature a little while, keep this idea in my head, make these big decisions in, you know, in the context of all the woods or out by the ocean or
yeah,
something wild like that. And that kind of puts it all in perspective.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as controversial as it may be, we can't shy away from trying to talk about this subject in at least a factual or neutral way, because the studies show that there's, you know, 43% of American teenagers, or at least by 12th grade, have at least tried marijuana. And 83.9% of them in the 12th grade say it's fairly easy or very easy to get. So it's out there. It's a reality, and we should talk about it. Now, in that realm there, what are some practical ways that you think we could go about changing that and maybe reducing teen use?
I mean, that last statistic is the one that's so startling. So basically, more teens say it's easy to get pot than say it's easy to get beer. If you look at those Michigan data, it's pretty astounding. So national surveys, how easy is it to get alcohol? How easy is it to get cannabis? Cannabis is usually in the lead. Obviously, you know, the underground market doesn't have the same age-related controls as the licit market does, and that really says something about, you know, what's the most productive approach for keeping cannabis away from teens. Also, I feel like, you know, spreading the word the way we do to say, hey, you know, I understand where you are or how you feel or what you think, but here are some real data saying there are some negative consequences associated with this. And if we did it in a way where, you know, we kept our own credibility, what a surprise, they might actually listen.
Well, that's it. The credibility issue is one that strikes home for me. You know, how many times can you show a commercial to a kid where he's running over a girl in a parking lot, or, you know, shooting his best friend with his dad's gun, all the terrible, terrible ONDCP commercials that are out there that kids know, you know, aren't true. They know another kid who smokes weed, and he's a good kid, he's a normal kid. So the credibility goes right out the window.
Well, and then it really hurts when we're trying to explain the dangers of hard drugs. So if I say, you know, methamphetamine literally can shrink your brain in a year, and here are the data, they say, aren't you the jerk who said marijuana causes psychosis or something? You know,
yeah.
then they're upset, and then they won't listen. Whereas if we stick to our guns and, you know, let the truth ride, I think we got a much better chance.
Now, what was the name of this manuscript, this book? Is it coming out pretty soon?
So this is available as a PDF file on the journal's website, but it's in the Journal of Environmental Psychology, and it's called A Gateway to Nature, Teenagers' Narratives on Smoking Marijuana Outdoors, and it's from a really neat group run by Barbara Moffett in British Columbia.
Well, it's fascinating research. We'll keep an eye on that, and we want to thank you again, Dr. Earlywine, for joining us here on our Wednesday Daily Audio Stash.
Oh, always a pleasure.